Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
It was a good week, and I hope everyone had a blessed and a good week as well, and is doing well. And if you are not doing well, you will be doing well by the end of the service. I believe that. Thank you, Father. And we are excited about the spring revival. Oh, the scripture that we read, that we are looking at, Hosea, look, this is just an appetizer. Hosea chapter 6, let's look at it again. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days, but after 3 days, he was raised up. He was resurrected. And so in these 3 days, we want to press into God for what he has for us. In John chapter 6, we learn about the story where they were in the wilderness for 3 days. No food. And they were there in the presence of Jesus, hearing the word of God. And so someone would say, How did they tidy up themselves? How did they bath and all that? I don't know. Somehow they kept clean if you are in the presence of Jesus. But the point is, they were in his presence for 3 days. And if we want to come, that's the background behind the old time Pentecostal camp meeting. They will go on a campground, come there for 3 days and be in God's presence. So we want to come these 3 days and be refreshed, hear his word, and on the third day, the Bible says he will raise us up, and we are excited about that. So just let us make time next week, beginning from Friday. And this Saturday, we're having a breakfast, 9:30 a.m., men's breakfast. Come and we'll do a Bible study as well. Let's come. The men only. This Saturday at 9:30. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Though this month we'll be studying on redemption, we'll be studying about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. He says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. 1 Corinthians 5, 14, and now we are in 15. He says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we have all people most to be pitied. Thank you, Father. Oh, verse 20, but in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who are fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's saying that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then we are just making noise. Our faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain, and we are still in our sins. And we are making false claims about God. But he says, and if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we have no hope. And if you only have hope in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. But then he continues and then he says, oh, Christ has been raised from the dead. We don't serve a dead Savior. His tomb is empty. We don't serve a dead God. Our God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive. And he is alive in the now of our lives. Oh, my Lord, I've preached myself happy. If you just went home, it would be good. My Lord and my God. And so the Apostle Paul said that I want to know him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is alive. He is alive. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Glory be to God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Notice what he says. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death. That I may know him. That should be the greatest quest of our lives. That should be the greatest cry of our lives. That I may know him. That I may know him. And notice he says, and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him and to experience the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. You see, one thing to know about somebody is one thing to know the person. Knowing about God is something else. Having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is another thing. There was a professor in Yale, and he was a mathematics professor. He was very eccentric, and he gave his class a math question and said, go and work this out and give me the answer the next day. So one of the students figured that this thing must be serious. He stayed up all night to try to get the answer. And so the next day when they came into the class, the professor said, if you have the answer to this question, come and write down the question and then deduce your answer and get to the question. I love maths. And then the first person came. He put the answer down and said, this is the answer. And then the professor said, no, that's not the answer. The person left and they went to sit down. The second person came, the same thing. He put it down there and said, this is the answer. And he went away. Then the other person who had stayed up all night came and put down did the same thing and put down the answer. And he said, professor asked him, is this the answer? He said, yeah, no, you said your answer is wrong. And then the student responded, I said, the answer is correct. The professor said, are you sure? He said, I'm sure, this is the answer. Then he asked him again, are you absolutely sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. He says, professor, I respect you very much. The professor said, the answer is wrong. He said, professor, I respect you very much. But the answer to this question is this one. Then he said, you are right. That's the answer. Then there was a protest in the class. The same answer they had put down was the same answer that all the others had put down. They said, we all gave you the answer. He said, all of you put down the answer. But this young man here knew that that was the answer. He said, very soon you will go out into the world to solve problems. And when you give solutions, you have to be sure that you know, that you know, that you know, and be confident that that's the solution to the problem. All of you didn't know. He knew that that was the answer. Oh, in a way, that was what Paul was saying here. I know him. That is my quest to know him. Paul, John said it in another way, that we know him. We are confident in him. This is the one that we have sat with for 3 years. This is the one that we are confident in. Knowing about God is one thing. Knowing about Jesus is one thing. But when you come to know and know and know and know and know and know and know that you know him, that's a different story. That's a different equation. That's a different story. You know that you have a relationship with him. That should be our greatest quest. That I may know him and experience the power of his resurrection. It's possible to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's possible to know his miracle life in our life. It's possible to know him as a friend. It's possible to have a close relationship with him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the multiplication effect of his resurrection in my life. In 1 Corinthians, he says that it's for us by one man, as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ Jesus all shall be made alive. And he says it in different words again to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 17. Let's look at what he says there. By one man, death came. By one man, life came. Romans chapter 5. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says. Glory be to God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more, oh my Lord, underline, highlighted, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sins. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, in the beginning, God wanted a family. And so he created Adam and Eve. And then he gave them the responsibility of bringing his family into the earth. And they missed it. They missed it. And so he says, through one man, sin came into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. God wanted a family. People that could come to him and say, oh, Father, I love you. He just enjoys it when of our own volition we come to him and say, Father, I love you. Thank you that you love me. That's what his heart hunger was. He wanted a family. He didn't, how many of us would want a robot coming to us and hugging us? We are looking for family. We are looking for family. It says death through sin. And so death spread on all men. And then he continues to say, for indeed sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned. He's talking about spiritual death here. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. And then when he got to Moses, he introduced the law and the blood and the sacrifices to cover their sins so that they could come into his presence. But that wasn't good enough. He purposed that he will send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ to come and redeem us back to himself and to reverse what was done in Adam. So he said that, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. You see, death, chaos introduced, and man didn't have a choice. It spread. Spiritual death spread. It just continued. But he says that much more through one man. He says it's a free gift. Jesus Christ is a free gift to the whole world. Unlike the other circumstance where it just spread on all men, in this case, God doesn't force anybody to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say it was your birthday today and I give you a gift. You have the option to take the gift or to reject it. Or you have that option to take that gift or to reject it. And so he's saying that not compared to what happened, the free gift is not like that. It's not like the trespass. Many died through one man's trespass, but much more, notice that, much more, the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one man's trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification or righteousness. The free gift, oh, much more, much more. Sometimes when we think about what Adam did and the curse and death and all the bad things that were introduced, oh, we think that is greater. But notice that word, he says much more, much more, much more. What God did in Jesus Christ is greater than what Satan and sin that did in Adam in the beginning. It is greater. It is greater. It is greater. And then I love verse 17. He says, for because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Much more, oh, much more. That phrase, much more, it sends a thrill through my heart. Will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? We reign through what? The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Righteousness, you see, man sinned and couldn't stand in the presence of God. But righteousness in the New Testament means the ability to stand in the presence of God, unashamed, unafraid. Oh, and the same ability to stand in the presence of the enemy and his death and curse and sickness and all that came on as a result of man's fall. Unashamed, unafraid. You reign in life through those two elements. The Amplified puts it this way. I love how it puts it. He says, we reign as kings in life. We reign as kings in life. That's a term for dominion. That's a term for authority. We reign as kings. You see, a king reigns in his domain with words. With words. He knows that when he gives a command, it has to be carried out. What do we reign over? We reign over circumstances. We reign over anything that doesn't line up with the plan of God. We reign in life as kings. We take our place because of who he has made us to be. We take our place in him and reign. Reign. Reign in life through whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I remember. Oh, so many instances I can think of. But one time, our youngest son, Joseph, he developed a rash on his skin. And we took him to the doctor. And when the doctors looked at it, they said, this rash that is on his skin, we don't have a cure for it. It doesn't fit with any of the strain of rashes that we know about. We don't have any cure for it. We don't have any medicine for it because we don't know what it is to even prescribe a cure. So what they are saying is it's incurable. My Lord and my God, you know, in our house that doesn't fly, as we say in our language. So he said, go and come back in 7 days. And when he came back, I remember this. He's in my home. I can reign in my home easily, very easy. I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse this to the root. I command it to wither and to die. He said, where do you get that from? I get that from Jesus. In Mark chapter 11, he saw a fig tree that had nothing on it. He cursed the tree. He said, this fig tree that you cursed, it withered. It withered. And in the account in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, he told his disciples that not only can you do what I've done to the fig tree, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it will remove. If Jesus did that, and he said his disciples can do it, I am a disciple of Jesus. I can do it as well. I cast that thing to the root and command it to wither and to die. I didn't see anything. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm acting like Jesus. He didn't see anything. He cast the tree and then he walked away. In the next 2 or 3 days, the thing, his flesh was clean and the rash was completely gone. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He went back to the doctor and the doctor said, what did you do? He said, we prayed. We prayed. And thank God she was a Christian doctor. She knew exactly what we were talking about. But the point here is, sickness is not in the plan of God. That rash is not in the plan of God. And so, in the name of Jesus, I can reign as a king. You can reign as a king as well in your domain. You can reign as a king in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. He says, by one man, Jesus Christ, we reign in life. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, Paul asks a very intelligent question in Acts chapter 26, verse 8. Let's take a look at that. Acts 26, verse 8. Acts 26, verse 8. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says. This was when he was on trial for preaching the word of God. Why is it taught incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? Why should we think that it's incredible for God to raise the dead? Why should we think, we've had modern cases of people being raised, coming back from the dead, even after they've died. Why should it be thought incredible that by any of you that God raises the dead? If God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, then no matter the circumstances of your life, no matter what is going on in your life that appears to be dead, this morning I speak life into it in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say a big amen. Why should it be thought incredible for God to raise the dead? Thank God we serve a living Savior. We don't serve a dead God. Oh, we serve a living God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this morning I speak into the circumstances of your life, into the situations of your life that appear to be dead, that are supposed to be alive, may they come alive in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. What was God working on? God sent his son so that we can share in the likeness of his son. We can share in the likeness of his son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I'll read it from the Amplified Version. It's so good. We will read it from there. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Romans 8. Thank you, Lord. Oh, get excited about the word of God. That's when it works. My Lord. Romans 8, 29. Thank you, Lord. He says, look, notice, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Hallelujah. Those whom he foreknew, of him he was aware and loved beforehand, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and sharing inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. If there's a firstborn, there is a secondborn. There is a thirdborn. I'm not sure which born I am, but I'm in there somewhere. He ordained that they will share his likeness. That they will say his likeness. Oh, that the image of God will be molded. Oh, will be molded into the image of his son. That is what he was working on. And those whom he does foreordained, he called. And those he also called, he justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. You and I are now in right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ did. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Thanks be to God, we are not to be pitied anymore. Thanks be to God, he has raised us into a heavenly condition. Stay heavenly dignity. And so this morning, anything in your life that doesn't look like heavenly dignity, that doesn't look like heaven, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that it be turned around. If that's you, say a big amen. Oh, glory, heavenly dignity. We are walking down here with that dignity as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we are not to be pitied anymore because our Jesus is alive. He's raised us up. He's glorified us. He's raised us up into a heavenly state and into a heavenly dignity. Dignity. The Christian life is supposed to be one of dignity. We are not meant to be pitied. We are meant to live and rule and reign as kings in life. Glory be to God. And in saying that to the Hebrews, he puts it the same in slightly different words. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. That's what he was working on, that he will reproduce because of the resurrection. We share his image. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 10, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Bringing many sons or children to glory. That is what he was talking about. He's putting it just in different words. He wants us to experience his glory, the power of his resurrection in our life. Bringing many sons to glory. Bringing many children to glory. That is what he was working on. Oh, so you say, how do I get What do I need to do to experience the power of his resurrection? That my life will be significant. That my life will make a difference. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? Number one, make the will of God your will. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, Jesus speaking, John chapter 5, verse 30. Make the will of God your will. Just rise up every day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? John chapter 5, verse 30. Thank you, Lord. He says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Oh, Jesus is saying that I'm not here to do my own will. I am not here to do my own thing. I am here to please the Father. I am here to do the will of God. I am here to seek his will. His will is of utmost importance in my life. Nothing else matters. The will of my Father is what I'm here to do. Oh, we can make that ours as well. I am here in this world not to seek my own will. Not to just do whatever I want to do. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to be a blessing to today? Who do you want me to reach out to today? How can I make a difference for you down here? Make the will of God your will. And then number two, be willing to yield your life totally to him and to serve him. John chapter 12, verse 24 to 26. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. John 12, 24 to 26. How do I experience the power of his resurrection? Truly, truly, I say to you, John 12, 24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Notice that in all the previous verses that we had read, it talks about one man. It talks about by one man. Death and sin was introduced. By one man, Jesus Christ, the life of God was introduced. Oh, we get to the point and say, I am just an individual. Oh, but if we a corn of wheat, if you have a grain of wheat and you keep it in your hands, it abides alone. But when put that grain into the ground, let it go through the dead process, you will have a harvest. It is said that one grain of wheat, one grain cultivated properly, can eventually keep producing and keep producing to feed a whole continent. Think about it. Oh, we make a commitment that, Lord, you are the one that I will serve. I may not have to die in the sense and resurrect in the sense that Jesus Christ did, but at least in my life, I will serve you. Let me experience the power of his resurrection. Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, was the only Son of God. But now, because of his death and resurrection, he brought many sons or children to glory. God has a whole family. The classic text of the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten and Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have the life of God. God had only one son, his very own son, but he was willing to give his best. And when the son came down here, he was willing to yield his life and to die and resurrect so God can have his family back. And so everyone that confesses the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, it's as a result of that one seed that God gave. My Lord and my God, as we yield our lives and make a commitment to serve the Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will not abide alone. We will not abide alone. We put it into the hands of the Master and say, Lord Jesus, take my life and do something with it. That's what I've decided to do. Lord, use my life to bless this city. Lord, use my life to bless this nation. Lord, use my life to bless the nations of the world. Lord, I pray everyone sitting here will make a significant impact in your generation. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Oh, we will not abide alone in the hands of the Master. He said that he who serves me, my Father will honor. That honor doesn't come from man, but that honor comes from God. That honor comes from the Father. Serving God, that's the best kind of life to live down here. Oh, serving God, serving God, serving God, making a determination. I don't care what's going on around me. As for me, I will serve God. I will make my life count. I won't just come and pass through the earth and not make a difference and just exist. No, I will make a difference down here. Oh, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, he said to the Israelite, he says, if you shall serve the Lord your God, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. Serving God, if he guarantees you, he will make to walk in health. He does all this. You serve me. You see, before they came out of the land of all out of Egypt, he told Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Let them go that they may serve me. And later on, when they had come out of the land, he said, you shall serve the Lord your God. Serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. And in the New Testament, he puts it this way, Matthew 6:33. Never forget that scripture. Never, 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 never. Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things that others are chasing after, you won't diminish. You won't diminish. It will be added to you. It will be added to you. Serve the Lord and he will honor you. My Father will honor you. In this season, let's make a commitment. The Lord, oh, by one man, sin and death entered. By one man, life has come to the world. Oh, and even though I am one right now, oh, I make a determination that I will not abide alone. I will make a difference. I will make a difference. Your will is my will. Your will is what I'm seeking after. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. One day, Paula was in the store, and she was doing groceries, and she happened to be in line, and the person at the checkout said, "These groceries are the person at the checkout asked the people behind her, are these groceries yours?" And the people said, yes, these groceries are yours. So at that moment, she jumped up and said, it had gotten mixed up in this. She said, no, this portion is mine. This portion is mine. And then said the person behind her said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And then she responded and said, these things that I'm doing is for a church. And you know what they said? He said, if it's for a church, it's even better. We'll pay for the whole thing. Oh, she was just out doing errands for God. And God took care. And we get that top. You see, the song that we sang this morning, Jesus has paid it all. We walk with that mindset. Jesus has paid it all. We don't have to pay for everything. It's all been paid for. It's all been paid for. It's all been paid for. So we walk in expectation of miracles, and we look for opportunities to do that for others as well. Just cultivating that lifestyle that, God, who can we be a blessing to today? Who can we give to today? Who can we bless? How can we serve you? We are available at your command. At your command. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, in this season, Jesus, think about it. If he had thought about himself and just said that, no, at some point he was shrinking from going through that resurrection process, the cross and the grave. But he made a decision. I will not abide alone. For God so loved the world. As we yield our lives to God and think about the power of his resurrection, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will experience that multiplication effect in our lives. We will experience that multiplication effect in our lives. Oh, just say it to you. Let's say it. That happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time. His goodness. Everything has been paid for. It's all been paid for. It happens to me all the time. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. He says that I may know him. I may know him. I may know him. Make that your heart cry this morning. I want to know him. I want to serve him. I want to experience the power of his resurrection, that power that raised him from the dead. And not only that, that power that is causing that light to keep multiplying and making an impact. Lord, let my life make an impact. And this morning, if you are here or listening online, like I said, it's one thing to know about God. It's one thing to have a personal relationship with him and to know him. Oh, and to come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. So if you don't know him and you are outside, you say, I've heard the word of God. I want this thing that you are talking about. The effect and the power of his multiplication and resurrection in my life. Oh, I don't want to be without. I want to be with him. That by him, I can reign. In life, if you are here, you can just raise up your hands, or if you are listening online as well, you can just say this prayer after me, and I'll pray with you. Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. I believe that you were raised from the dead. Today, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, I'm saved. Thank you, I'm in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, begin to talk to God. And let's prepare our hearts to receive communion this morning. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. That I may know him and experience the power of his resurrection. You see, that is what makes the difference. That is what makes the difference. That is what makes the difference. This morning, if you are sick in any area of your life, if you need wholeness, oh, pray the Lord as I partake of the communion this morning. May I receive wholeness. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's worship while we pray. Thank you, Father. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because of what Jesus Christ did, we have come into the family of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, and come to this table this morning in expectation. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we thank you that as we come, We partake of this in the righteousness of Jesus. He is the one that has made us righteous. Thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And we can partake of this in his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 11:23. So he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake of his broken body for us in Jesus' name. And in the same, thank you, Lord. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake of his blood this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just open your mouth and talk to God. Appropriate the benefit of his death, his resurrection. Appropriate the benefit of his broken body. Appropriate the benefit of his blood. He was broken that we might be made whole. Oh, by his blood, we are healed of sicknesses. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you so much for your broken body for us. Your body was broken that we might be made whole. You shed your blood that our sins may be forgiven. You shed your blood that we may be healed of our sicknesses. Oh, you were made poor that we might be made rich. We might be delivered from poverty and receive your wealth and your riches that you have for us. Oh, you were made naked that we might be clothed, that we might receive your protection and your wholeness. This morning I pray in any area of our lives where we need wholeness, we receive a touch from you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, let's raise up our hands to God. Let's say it together, please. Lord Jesus, I receive the benefit of your resurrection in my life, in any area of my life, where I need wholeness, where I need restoration. I receive your wholeness. I receive your restoration. Oh, put a song in my mouth. A testimony in my mouth in the name of Jesus. Give him praise and glory this morning. 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 His presence is here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I bless you in the name of Jesus. May this week be fruitful. May you put a song in your mouth. May you receive a testimony in Jesus' mighty name. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you his peace, his shalom. Every burden on your heart, may it be rolled away in the name of Jesus. Everybody said a big, big amen. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory and the honor. My Lord and my God. Oh, you people soak the word of God so well, it's hard to quit.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.